KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 28 degrees. We look for it to be cloudy with a chance of light snow, mixed at times with light rain, and a high of 34. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Well, the DeSoto National Wildlife Refuge Visitor Center is closing for New Year's Day today. Officials say the center will close at noon and reopen Wednesday morning. The seasonal sections of the refuge tour road and refuge grounds will remain open during the federal holidays. DeSoto National Wildlife Refuge, in case you didn't know, is 25 miles north of Omaha on U.S. Highway 30, sandwiched between Missouri Valley, Iowa, and Blair, Nebraska. Well, a suicidal man led police in Council Bluffs on a chase Sunday morning that resulted in his arrest and hospitalization. Authorities say at around 8:24 a.m., officers were dispatched to the 2500 block of South 17th Street in Council Bluffs for a 44-year-old Council Bluffs man threatening suicide by holding a gun to his head. As officers arrived in the area, the suspect fled in a vehicle at a high rate of speed. Officers say they saw the suspect holding what appeared to be a gun to his head. A pursuit ensued, and the suspect fled the area, getting on I-80 westbound at the South Expressway, continued to I-29 north, where he made a U-turn at mile marker 57 in the median to head back into Council Bluffs on North 16th Street. Officers were able to use the pit maneuver, or pursuit intervention technique, at South 16th and 7th Avenue, where the vehicle was disabled. The suspect was then taken into custody without further incident. The man had numerous self-inflicted wounds all over his body from a knife, and he made comments to the officers on scene that he wanted to die. He was transported to a hospital for medical attention and evaluation. Charges are pending for felony eluding, domestic abuse, assault, serious, reckless driving, disobedience to a police officer, and interference with official acts. Troopers with the Iowa State Patrol and deputies of the Pott County Sheriff's Office assisted in the arrest of the suspect. At this time, the man's name was not being released until he's formally charged. Police in Red Oak late Saturday night arrested a woman for assault. 71-year-old Diane Elaine Charmita of Red Oak was taken into custody at around 11:15 p.m. for domestic abuse assault first offense. Charmita was transported to the Montgomery County Jail and held without bond, pending an appearance before the magistrate. Stewart Fire and Rescue, along with Menlo Fire and Rescue, were called into service for a single vehicle accident just east of Menlo Saturday evening. Officials say two patients were extricated from the vehicle, with one being transported by helicopter to a hospital. The other person was transported by ambulance to the hospital for treatment of their injuries. That accident happened around 10 p.m. Saturday as a 2000 Chevy Silverado was traveling north on Ranch Trail Road near White Pole Road. The vehicle went out of control on a bridge and hit the guardrail before going airborne. The pickup cleared a creek and landed on its wheels in the east ditch. No names have been released in association with that accident. In other news, utility crews extinguished a fire at a nuclear power plant in southeast Nebraska over the weekend. The Nebraska Public Power District said the fire was discovered in the basement of the facility around 9 a.m. Saturday. While crews were investigating a hazardous gas, it was extinguished before 10 a.m. The utility says the fire never threatened public safety. NPPD and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission will investigate what started the fire and evaluate the utility's response. The Cooper Nuclear Power Plant continued operating throughout the incident on Saturday. That plant sits along the Missouri River in southeast Nebraska near Brownville, about 80 miles south of Omaha and just across the river from Iowa. Des Moines' last single-screen movie theater has closed after 80 years. The Des Moines Register reports that the Varsity Theater was packed during its final screening on Sunday, more than eight decades after the theater opened on Christmas Day in 1938. Theater owner Denise Mahon says that the turnout touched her heart. She said she announced the closure in November, citing plans to undergo knee replacement surgery. Mahon took over running the theater after her father died in 2009. She decided to play one of her father's favorite films, Cinema Paradiso, for the theater's final showings. Theatergoers say the Varsity Theater was known for playing movies that were more unconventional, such as independent and foreign films. Mahon said she's taking her time finding new owners who will carry on the theater's legacy. Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin says more manufacturing jobs are coming to his state. Bevin said in a statement that Pella, Iowa-based Precision Puller and Apulia & Idler plans to locate a $10.8 million manufacturing and distribution operation in an existing 105,000-square-foot building in Maysville, Kentucky, and will hire 134 full-time employees over the next 10 years. The company supplies idlers, pulleys, bearings, and other products. PPI President and CEO Roger Brown said the Maysville facility allows the company additional capacity to meet the company's growing demands. The company operates 12 facilities in the U.S. and also has locations in Canada and Chile. Bevin says the jobs will benefit the economy in northeastern Kentucky. Local builders and avid do-it-yourselfers have long turned to Lockridge Incorporated for construction materials. Many residents are beginning to turn to them now for high-speed internet. The Daily Iowegian reports the unique scenario recently drew the attention of Governor Kim Reynolds and Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg as they stopped at the company's Promise City location during a southern Iowa swing. Lockridge Incorporated, a family-owned buildings materials company with locations in Wayne, Appanoose, Lucas, and Putnam counties, set out about 2 years ago to come up with a solution to their own internal problem of obtaining high-speed internet. That solution may end up solving a societal problem faced by many in rural southeastern Iowa. Challenges with getting high-speed internet in rural areas and even small towns there have proved to be a struggle, even in places in which federal data states an area has access to high-speed internet. That data doesn't always prove to be true. Lockridge Company is headquartered where the business began in the 1940s in Promise City, a population of just 113. Their location houses their company network, including point-of-sale and estimate generation systems. Getting other locations in Centerville, Sheraton, and Unionville, Missouri, able to connect to that network, however, has sometimes been a challenge due to the lack of broadband access in the area. At around the same time, they were aiding in the construction of a home for Pete Krebs, who has an internet networking background. And together, they came up with a solution, create Lockridge's own wireless internet network. That involved setting up various towers in the area, which drew questions from curious residents in the sparsely populated rural areas. Caleb Hausch, a sales manager for the family-owned business, said, "At first, some employees of Lockridge themselves got connected to the system. The family then began seeing that they could begin offering the service to the communities they serve." Hausch said the service is still in a pre-launch stage. Krebs said over the past 2 years, the new internet service has grown confident in their network and service options. And Krebs, who owns the new Lockridge Networks company, told Reynolds that just a few feet in elevation change can make a major difference in the kind of power or radios that need to be used to establish service. One day, Hausch told Reynolds, the dream is that the service would be available south of the Highway 34 corridor between I-35 and the Mississippi River. But for now, the service is expected to remain in somewhat of a soft launching phase until the first part of 2019. And student in Wayne Lidke's sustainable construction and design class have learned about house building by doing it. They've framed walls, hung drywall, installed windows and doors, and done minimal wiring while building small-scale houses at the Waterloo Career Center. The students will be working on some other skills like roofing in the Waterloo Community Schools program before the semester is over. Though the nine high schoolers put down their hammers and picked up trowels, Iowa Masonry Institute members taught them lessons on mixing mortar and building into a number of structures with cinder block and brick. Their task was to construct a pier. The column-like structure can support a beam in a building and overhang on an entryway or have more decorative use at the end of a driveway. Students shoveled the mortar out of wheelbarrows onto plywood platforms. They scooped up the substance with their trowels, depositing on the edges of a pair of cinder blocks before adding another layer of blocks. Chris Bush, overseeing the students' efforts, emphasized the importance of getting the right amount of mortar between the blocks. Without the right amount, he said, it'll start to lose considerable integrity. Students were building the piers five blocks high and then covering them with a veneer of brick. Bush doesn't expect everyone in the class to end up as a bricklayer, but bringing the program into schools, he said, is important to finding the next generation of workers, and the amount of time they've had at the Career Center only helps. Davenport is considering selling its city-owned fire department building for $200,000 less than it cost to build 6 years ago. The building sits on land was owned by Eastern Iowa Community College, which sold it to Hawkeye Paving of Bettendorf. The company wants to use the building as its new headquarters. The proposed contract would have Hawkeye pay the city $600,000 and would let Davenport and other emergency agencies use part of the facility for training purposes for free until October of 2020. Movable training pieces such as a burn tower and hazmat simulator will be sold by Hawkeye for $1, and the city would have to pay to move those training pieces elsewhere. The vote to finalize the building sale could take place as soon as January 9th. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.